Welcome back to Athens Happens. I'm Izzy Keller, managing editor of The New Political.
And I'm Megan Arnold, social media coordinator and staff writer of The New Political.
Athens Happens is a podcast brought to you by The New Political, a student publication dedicated to explaining the nuances of Ohio University, Athens, and state politics.
You can find new episodes at thenewpolitical.com or wherever else podcasts can be downloaded.
At OU, Spring Rush took place just last week. There are a number of Greek life organizations to join, including social fraternities and sororities, business fraternities, and a multicultural fraternity.
Today, we are going to talk to three TNP staff members about their experiences in OU Greek life. We are here with TNP Assistant News Editor Jack Slamenda, staff writer Zach Campu, and designer Annabelle Sorge.
So I'm going to go around the table and have all of you guys introduce yourselves, starting with Jack.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Jack Slamenda. As they mentioned, I'm the assistant news editor for the New Political, but I'm also the Rush chairman for Pike, formerly known as Pi Kappa Alpha.
Is it not still known that?
Formally.
Oh, formally. Oh. I thought you said formally, like in the past.
Yeah, no.
What's your major in year?
I'm a journalism, news, and information major. And I'm a sophomore, graduating 25.
Okay. Zach?
I'm Zach Campu. I'm a freshman journalism major, staff writer for The New Political. Joined also Pi Kappa Alpha in the fall, and I'm now new member educator this semester.
Very cool. And Annabelle?
I'm Annabelle. I'm a sophomore. I'm a retail fashion merchandising major, and I'm in Sigma Kappa. I'm the COB chair, so I just work with the spring recruitment and the new members during that, and I'm a designer for the New Political.
What does COB chair mean?
It stands for Continuous Open Bid Chair, so spring recruitment, like informal recruitment.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, and we're going to go with our first question, which is a pretty easy one. Why did you rush?
I rushed in the spring of my freshman year, and I rushed because I wanted to get more involved with other things besides just like school-related things, I guess. Like the New Political, I love being a part of because it ties back into my major, ties back into school. But I wanted to find like a new group of people, a new, you know, community that I could really kind of grow in. And I think I found that with Pike. I also I went to an all guys like Catholic high school, St. Ignatius in Cleveland, and I really had like that kind of like brotherhood community there, and that's something that I kind of wanted again in college, and I definitely was like a big reason why I rushed in general.
Go ahead, Zach.
Similar for me. I also went to an all boys Catholic high school, and the brotherhood thing was really emphasized there, and I really think that was a real thing there. My brother was in a fraternity, and he had a great experience at Miami University, and I got to meet his friends and see what that was like, and it seemed like it was something for me, and I met the guys from my fraternity, and it clicked right away, and I thought it would be a good thing for me.
I also rushed the spring semester of my freshman year, and I just had a lot of people around me who were in sororities. I knew nothing about it. Nobody really from my high school was in them, so I'm a clueless. And then once I started talking to girls in my sorority, so I just kind of knew that was the place for me.
What do you guys think? Actually, let me reword that. So I think it was a couple years ago, OU put out a new like community scorecard thing, and it was kind of met with a lot of controversy when it first came out, but it still like exists. So what do you guys think about that?
I think it's actually a really beneficial thing for us to have. I think it keeps a lot of us, Greek members, regardless of fraternity or sorority, I think it keeps a lot of us accountable as to like what it is we're here to do. You know, like Greek life goes beyond just the social aspect of it. There's a lot more that goes into it. And I think the scorecard, the paw print, whatever you want to call it, I think it kind of is a way for us to all, you know, be kept accountable as to what we do with our chapters outside of like social things. However, I do think that like personally just by being around it, being filled out every year, I think that the method that we, at least that I've experienced having to fill it out, can be kind of a pain. Some of it kind of seems redundant, and you're kind of putting in the same information just over and over and over again, which is kind of frustrating. And I think there's a lot of different data that's supposed to be put into it. And I think a lot of it can get lost or misinterpreted, or at least for members of my fraternity, I think we just kind of get confused as to like what applies to, you know, community service, or what's campus involvement, or what's philanthropy, what's service hours. Like, some of it kind of just gets jumbled up. And I think that kind of sometimes shows on the scorecard and can be a little bit frustrating.
I agree with the way we fill it out. It definitely causes some confusion, which might lead to it not being super accurate, because the questions are super vague and a lot of us don't know exactly what they're asking. But I do think it leads to some healthy competition, just because if you see other organizations are above you, it's kind of going to want to make you work harder to have a higher GPA or something as a group.
So do you guys think partying has drowned out the original point of Greek life?
No, I don't. I don't think it's drowned it out at all. I think the party scene is honestly an aspect of every college kid, or, you know, most college kids. I don't think it's just, you know, Greek life people that get that are, you know, the partiers on a college campus. And that kind of applies to everybody, especially here at OU. So no, I don't think it's drowned it out. I think it's, sometimes it can get, you know, it can be like, redundant, or it can be, it can sometimes be excessive, and, you know, it's, but I think a lot of the, at least for my fraternity with Pike, I think a lot of us know like our boundaries and know when it is and, like, we need to step away and that kind of thing. But no, I don't think it's bad.
I think it's definitely a chapter-by-chapter thing. I mean, it's really different everywhere. Each fraternity or sorority has its own culture based on who's leading it and who the members are. And some fraternities and sororities, it may be that way, but in general, I really don't think it is. I think fraternities and sororities are productive in general and still do follow the original mission of them.
I agree. It definitely has not drowned anything out, especially with sororities. We do have a lot of rules and things put in place to ensure that, and to ensure that we are being productive and doing other things around campus than just partying.
I would also add, when you're in a social group like that, being accountable to a group that large can also make people want to improve. It's not just the negative, encouraging partying aspect. There is also the aspect of, I want to get better grades. I want to be more involved in this, this, and this, to, because I am accountable to this group and I want to do better because of that.
Yeah, I want to, actually, that's a good point. I wanted to add on that too, is like being a part of a fraternity goes so, or a sorority, goes so far beyond yourself. You know, you have this more of it, like a sense of like accountability, that like you don't want to let down your brothers, sisters, whatever it may be. You don't want to let those people down. You want to like be accountable for yourself, not only to do well for yourself, but you also want to like improve the fraternity, the sorority, and the brand that you're a part of. You know what I mean?
I guess another thing I would be interested in knowing is, do you think that the social fraternities and sororities are treated differently than the other kind of fraternal organizations on campus, like the business fraternities, or the multicultural fraternity?
I would say so. Yeah, I mean, we're a part of IFC and SFL, so I mean, there's rules and regulations that come with that, and there's, you know, more things that you have to follow because of that. So I think that's definitely something that doesn't apply to the business fraternities. You know what I mean? So that is definitely one aspect of it. But I think another thing that people kind of, I don't know if it necessarily were treated differently based off of the university, but I think just sort of in general, sort of like in life, just anywhere, if you mention to some certain people that you're in a fraternity, you're in a sorority, some people automatically judge you and just, you know, assume the worst or assume the bad things that they've heard, because sure, there have been some unfortunate things that have happened in the Greek life community, not only just at OU, but just in, you know, America as a whole. So yeah, I think if you tell people that you're in like a social fraternity, like Pike, Sig Cap, whatever, I would say that me personally, yes, I have been treated differently compared to people that are in business fraternities or other non-social fraternities or sororities.
yeah, there's definitely a spotlight, I think, on social fraternities and sororities, and perhaps rightfully so. And I do think that a lot of the business fraternities or other groups like that don't really have that same spotlight. In many cases, do the same or worse things. They just don't have that attention on them that fraternities and sororities do.
So an unfortunate thing that happened at OU's campus in, I believe it was 2019, was the death of Colin Wyant, and that has been, his death has been linked to, you know, hazing. Since then, you know, Collins' law has, you know, been passed and signed by the governor, and I think that OU has taken a really kind of strong stance against hazing. So my question is, do you guys think that hazing is still an issue at OU, and what do you think about how OU has handled, you know, hazing or, you know, that in relation to Greek life?
Well, I can't speak for other chapters because I don't know what happens behind closed doors with other chapters, but what I can speak for is for myself and for the rest of the Pike guys, and Zach, I think, would agree, is we take, specifically Pike at OU, we take hazing extremely seriously, meaning that we do not stand for it, do not do it, and if anybody is ever caught doing it, there are, or anything even close to it, there are serious, serious repercussions that happen that we would implement should it arise with any of our active brothers or any of the pledges that are coming through. So Pike nationally also takes a very, very serious stance on hazing. That's why they, you know, part of Collins Law and a lot of other incidents that have happened with Pike, they recently, a couple years ago, revamped the entire new member process, turning it into only, you know, 4 weeks, shortening it and that kind of thing, and really honing in on like learning the history of Pike rather than the old traditions that chapters used to do, which did involve hazing. But Pike here at OU does not stand for it. We don't do it. We don't condone it. And anything that ever does happen or does even come close, which it hasn't, thankfully, would 100% be met with serious, serious repercussions. So, yeah.
The hazing's a pretty personal thing for me. Colin Wine actually went to my high school. I had art class with his younger brother the year that it happened. The guys involved with that are murderers. And I can't stand hazing. I also can't speak for any other fraternity. I'm actually a new member educator now, which, so I'm guiding these guys through the pledging process, where at fraternities that do haze, that would be the position that would carry that out. So that was a big reason why I took that position and wanted to, because I think that process can be very beneficial without any hazing. There's some fraternities that would argue that, oh, this is just part of the process. And I think in my experience so far with our pledge classes, we've had a very beneficial program for them that involved nothing close to hazing. And I really think it's completely unnecessary and illogical.
I'm sorry, I didn't know that you went to the same high school as Colin.
Once again, I can't speak for any other sororities, but with Sigma Kappa nationally, we take a lot of precautions. We do things that other chapters don't really do, such as dry periods during any big event in the sorority, such as bid day, big little, anything related to that, just so we can take every precaution necessary so that nobody ends up in a position they shouldn't be. But I think OU has done a pretty good job of making these organizations aware of the repercussions that will happen. We've had multiple speakers come this year. They have informed all of us about Collins Law and that situation. But at OU, I really do not think hazing is an issue.
Yeah, I mean, one last thing that I wanted to chime in is the same speakers that a lot of the sororities have heard, the fraternities have heard as well. I mean, Pike, I, again, can't speak for the rest of the chapters, but Pike has had, I recently had Green Dot come in with Pike and talk to us about, you know, how to be an efficient bystander. And sure, that doesn't directly apply to hazing, but regardless of if you're with the rest of your brothers, the rest of the guys in your fraternity, or if you're just out in public, it's just something that we did to take another precaution to really just hit the fact that we do not stand for hazing or anything close. And if you do ever see something like that happen, that all of our guys are properly trained with how to handle that and how to take care of that. So
I think with Green Dot, and we've had training here at TNP, and you were there for that, and that's kind of how you met Anne.
Yep.
I think that Green Dot can apply to like any situation, although it's directly like for like instances of like sexual violence, sexual misconduct, stuff like that. But I think that that's probably part of like the good part of Green Dot.
Okay. And then what do you guys think can be improved about OU Greek life?
Ooh, that's tough. I think what can be improved would be like sort of unifying the whole thing. I think a lot of times sororities and fraternities, specifically the social ones, because that's like what I'm a part of, is like we kind of, people tend to go off and do their own thing, or, you know, you do your own philanthropies or you do your own community service, but you don't really like connect with the other Greek life members. Fortunately, though, Pike actually recently did a philanthropy event with Sigma Kappa where we did like a rodeo type thing, which was really awesome. And like it was one of my favorite memories with Pike, because not only was it a great time for all of us there and we raised, you know, a good amount of money for it, but it was kind of a cool way to just interact with other Greek members outside of the social aspect. And I think OU really needs to maybe not necessarily require, but really start talking about how we can unify all the chapters rather than just, be our own little separate entities and our own little separate groups and our own little separate cliques. Because at the end of the day, we are all one massive, you know, Greek life community. And I think that kind of just doesn't always happen, that we don't always, we aren't always unified under that one same community.
I agree with that. I think the more we can do, especially with community service and with philanthropy in a bigger group, I think you're going to reach a wider base, and I think that would be really beneficial.
I think that there has been a lot of change just with people in charge and advisors and stuff like that. So for the past few years, it has kind of been hard just to have a go-to faculty member that's in charge of everyone. And I know it's probably going to take some years to shake the kinks out and everything, but I do hope in the future that as Greek life, there is somebody in charge of everyone and everybody is aware of that person.
So Annabelle mentioned that Greek life has gone over a number of changes throughout the years. Some of those new changes include a new Greek life director and a new mandatory class for all. Is it freshman Greek life members to join?
It's just all new members.
All new members to take. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, for the class, I can't talk really much about the class that's going on right now, because when I took it last year, it's completely different than what it is now. Zach has more of a perspective on the class that's being taught right now. But for the new director, her name is Chris Medrano-Graham. I haven't interacted with her a ton. From what I understand, there's a lot that she's changing and there's a lot that is, you know, getting worked out for future plans. I just think that some of the stuff that was put forth for specifically spring recruitment or spring rush this past week, some of it it wasn't very like cohesive. It wasn't very, in my opinion, it wasn't very efficient. I thought it was kind of put together on a whim, is kind of what it came across to me as. And that's not like, I'm not trying to like, you know, drag all of IFC through the mud here. They do a lot of great work for all the different chapters. And I think that they're, at the end of the day, they are great people. I just think that I was a little bit disappointed with how spring recruitment was handled from an IFC perspective this time. I thought it was just a little bit rushed and kind of thrown together at the last minute. But from what I understand, from what I've heard from a lot of the other guys at different chapters and from We have a couple guys that are on the IFC board. From what I understand, like it's going to be better. We're going to get through it. And obviously, with a new director, there's a lot of changes. There's a lot of things to work out. I think that all of the the confusion and that kind of stuff is going to get worked out, and we'll get through it. It's just right now, it just kind of hurt because I thought we could have done a lot better of a job for spring recruitment, but it is what it is.
It sounds like you're in like a transition period with like Greek life a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a transition period. And like, with any transition period, nothing's ever seamless. Nothing's ever perfect. And I understand that. It's just at the end of the day, I was told that there was going to be more of a, hard-nosed plan that is all put together and ready to go. And it'll be super simple for all of us. But in my own opinion, I don't think that I really had that happen yet, which is fine, but I just hope it gets worked out in the future.
Yeah. And Zach, you're in the new member class, right?
Yes.
So what do you think about all of this?
I think the class could be beneficial. We were told that it was required, and that was communicated to, I think, all of the chapters. And then a couple weeks into it, there was an issue with the teacher, and then there were some complaints from some of the students, and then all of a sudden we got an email that said there was a miscommunication regarding the class and a requirement to be enrolled in it, and that this is not a required class for anyone, which I think that is blatantly false, and I did not appreciate being lied to. And I think especially when we're trying to work with IFC, they're working with us a lot, I really don't think that was the correct way to handle that.
I'm getting just confused by that, because when I took it, it was required. We had emails from IFC. We had emails from, the older Pike guys in charge that you had to go to this class and you had to be enrolled by this and this date and you had to see it through. Mm-hmm. So that's just odd to me.
And my position currently, I don't work a lot with IFC. I don't see a lot of that stuff. I think they do a great job in general. That was just one issue I've had in my experience.
Okay.
What do you guys hope to see for the future of Greek life?
Personally, I want it to be larger. I want it to be just way bigger than it is. I'm not saying it has to be on the same level as like sororities and fraternities in the South, where that's just like, you go to college and you're in a fraternity or sorority, whether you like it or not. I'm not saying that's what it has to be here, but I think the community just needs to be larger. And as recruitment chairman for Pike, that's definitely something that I'm working on specifically for our chapter. But I think the benefits of being in a sorority or fraternity, like the really good parts of it, need to be emphasized by the university, and people, more freshmen, more transfer students, whoever is coming to OU, needs to be aware that like these organizations are really good organizations that not only benefit yourself for like your career development here at OU, and obviously all the social parts of it, that we're meeting new people and networking and all that stuff. Like there's a lot of really good hidden benefits that I don't think the university really emphasizes or really, talks about, which is unfortunate. And I think if they did, I think it would be a way larger thing than it is now. And that's what I want it to be. I want it to be, flat out bigger, more members in every single chapter.
I agree with that. I think growth would be good. I think many of the fraternities and sororities provide a very positive experience for kids. I also don't think it needs to be like it is at other schools. You mentioned schools in the South where it's very pervasive throughout the student body. I don't know if that's the best thing. I think OU has a very, if you're in it, great. If you're not, okay. People seem to get along great. And I think that the Greek life community and non-Greek life part of the student body coexist very well. And I think even more interaction between that would be good.
I think that there's a lot of, like I said earlier, stigma and stereotypes, and that's not necessarily the university's issue, but I do think, like they were saying before, if we could promote the hidden benefits more, that would be a really, really big change for all organizations.
Sounds good. Do you guys have anything else that you'd like to add?
No.
No? Okay.
I don't think so.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap for this episode of Athens Happens. Make sure to check out thenewpolitical.com for more podcast episodes and other content. Thank you, and until next time.